CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is InSight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It pretty much is as close as it gets for a statewide election. As of this morning, Proposition 1, Governor Newsom's $6.4 billion mental health and housing bond remains ahead by a razor-thin margin of less than 20,000 votes. And that's out of more than 7 million ballots that have been processed so far. While opponents of Prop 1 have essentially conceded, Governor Newsom is not celebrating just yet. Politico reported that Newsom postponed his scheduled State of the State address this week as Prop 1 hangs in the balance. And this is in addition to other political drama at the state capitol, from a massive budget deficit to controversy over a fast food minimum wage deal and a drop in job approval numbers. It's an interesting time under the Capitol Dome these days. Dustin Gardner is the co-author of Politico's California Playbook and joins us with all that's happening at the Capitol, including some very exciting news about women in the state legislature. Hey, Dustin, good afternoon. Welcome back to InSight.
Hey, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's begin with Prop 1. As we mentioned, yes on Prop 1 is in the lead by a sliver. It's like 50.1% to 49.9%. If trends continue as expected, it will pass. But Prop 1 is Governor Newsom's baby. It's what he called the final piece to his mental health and homelessness reforms. What does a narrow victory mean for the governor?
It is likely, as you said, that it will still pass, just given the margin. But it is razor thin. I mean, I don't think anyone expected this would be within a tenth of 1%. So it's an embarrassment for the governor, quite frankly. He really made himself the face of this campaign. He stormed the state final weeks before the March 5th primary, promoting this measure and promoting, how it is really the linchpin of his vision for housing and homelessness and mental health reform in the state. It's a lot of a face for things to be this close and go down to the wire in this way.
Just yesterday, the governor was at the state capitol. Your Politico colleague, Rachel Bluth, caught up with the governor. What was he doing there?
So he was there meeting with Speaker Robert Rivas in the assembly, and presumably from what we understand, they were talking about the budget deficit and negotiations around that. But the governor was kind of chased by a pack of reporters as he was leaving the speaker's office. And it was kind of this awkward moment where you had, half the Sacramento press corps filming the governor as he did the long walk out of the Capitol, headed back to his office a few blocks away. And really just didn't want to pontificate about the state of Prop 1. He said, I'll have something to say when all the votes are counted.
Yeah, earlier this week, we were supposed to have a State of the State address, but Politico reported that it was it's been postponed, obviously, and it relates to Prop 1. I mean, what do you know about that?
Yeah, so the governor was supposed to deliver his annual State of the State address, his biggest speech of the year. And his office canceled Friday morning, about 72 hours before he was expected to deliver this big speech. And it really was because Prop 1 is still too close to call. The speech will be rescheduled. They haven't named a new date, but it really says a lot about, just political implications of this close call for the like I said, even if the initiative does pass, it's so tight that it has not looked good for him. And I know there's been a lot of sweating about this in Newsom's orbit. So it was just kind of really an exceptional moment to see a governor wait until the last minute to cancel such a big speech.
Yeah, I mean, and this isn't the only challenge that the governor is dealing with. As you mentioned, he was at the state capitol yesterday talking with Speaker Robert Rivas, about the budget deficit that the state is facing. It's anywhere from like $30 billion to $70 billion range, depending on what analysis that you're leaning on and using. Where do things stand with narrowing that gap?
Yeah, so the governor, as I mentioned, he was just in the assembly yesterday negotiating with the speaker and lawmakers about his desire to take some early action to trim that deficit. The state Senate has put out a plan to cut $17 billion ahead of time before the next budget to prepare for a large deficit. The governor is on board with that idea of taking some early action. He's trying to get the assembly there as well. But you know, the range of the deficit is one of the most fascinating pieces of all of this. Newsom's Department of Finance, they're only projecting, I say only, but it's still a significant number. They're projecting $38 billion, but that's quite a bit less than the Legislative Analyst's Office, which is projecting $73 billion. Huge gap there. And it's been fascinating because during the Brown years, we often saw the Department of Finance take a more conservative approach with their estimates and their forecasts. And with the Newsom administration, we're seeing the Department of Finance lean a little more, not quite as conservative. They're projecting things are going to be better in the economy than the legislature's analysts. So, you know, we're still waiting to see whose numbers really pan out as the budget picture comes more into focus as we head into the spring.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a gap that is more than $30 billion between the Department of Finance and the Legislative Analyst Office. I mean, is that a normal gap when you look at previous budget years and previous governors? I mean, you touched upon Brown.
I don't think it's very, I mean, there's always differences, but the scope of this difference is pretty unusual. And I mean, it really either number could be correct at this point. We'll see. Revenue projections have been doing a little bit better recently because the stock market's been doing better. And, you know, we know that the state's revenue is really dependent on top earners and capital gains tax around stock performance. But yeah, we'll wait. We'll see. But yeah, that $30 billion difference is huge. And it's kind of out of the norm from what we saw during a lot of the Brown administration and what we've seen during previous years of the Newsom administration. Usually the difference is not that much.
And you mentioned that, you know, one option is dipping into the rainy day fund. And there is some talk and conversation surrounding that. Of course, like the big decisions are going to come for the May revise. So there still is a little bit of time. But Newsom also said that he wanted to secure an agreement to take early action on the state budget. Does that involve the rainy day fund, or are there other options that he's looking at?
Yeah, so Newsom has talked about using around $12 billion from the Rainy Day Fund. In addition to that, he wants lawmakers to agree to some early budget action. This would be things like spending cuts, some program delays, using bonds to borrow money for programs, rather than use money from the state's general fund to pay for things. So that would be in addition to that rainy day fund money. And the governor really is anxious to get lawmakers moving in that direction. This governor does not like bad headlines, and he really doesn't like repeatedly seeing the headlines of potentially a $70 billion deficit. And so I think he really wants to take a big bite out of that as soon as possible.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Politico's California Playbook co-author Dustin Gardner. Dustin, a recent poll from the PPIC, that's the Public Policy Institute of California, it shows that less than half of likely voters in the state currently approve of Newsom's job performance. It's the first time since 2019 that it's dropped under 50%. Can you talk about some of the contributing factors, why you think there has been a drop in approval numbers?
Yeah, what really stood out to me about these numbers is independence. The governor's support among registered Democrats and registered Republicans, it's virtually unchanged from a year ago. But the area where he's really taken a hit is with those no party preference voters. Just to give you some detail, a year ago, February of 2023, the governor had a 53% approval rating among independents. That rating has dipped to 41% among independents. So he really has seen a very steep decline in his approval among independents. And I was chatting the other day with Mark Baldessare, the head pollster at PPIC, and he said that a lot of it seems to be independents are not taking kindly to the governor taking on a bigger national profile. Newsom's really hit the trail in the last year to campaign for President Joe Biden and for Democrats, and Newsom has leaned into this bigger national persona as a top surrogate. And as he's done that, independents are seeing him as a more partisan figure. And it's perhaps no coincidence that Newsom's approval rating among likely voters is almost identical to Joe Biden's in California. So as Newsom puts himself out there as a more partisan actor on a national stage, people are seeing him more that way, and that doesn't bode well with independents.
Yeah, there's also been some controversial reporting and a lot of reporting surrounding a fast food minimum wage bill that's going to take effect. And Governor Newsom is at the center of it. For anyone who isn't in the thick of it and isn't following every development, can you get us up to speed on what's going on with it?
Yeah. So last legislative session, last summer, there was a big compromise deal between fast food chains and labor organizations about a piece of legislation that raises the minimum wage to $20 for fast food workers from $16 to $20. And then it also creates a council that will do work and look at improving labor conditions for those workers in other areas. That piece of legislation has a pretty significant carve out in that it doesn't apply to bakeries. This is restaurants where bread is baked on the premises and sold. And, you know, that exemption didn't get a ton of attention last legislative session, but it's really become a hot potato in Sacramento because Bloomberg published a story a couple of weeks ago, essentially alleging that an ally of the governor had pushed for an exemption that would apply to Panera Bakery franchise locations. This friend of the governor is a man named Greg Flynn. He owns quite a few franchise locations, and he's actually a high school classmate of the governor from Newsom's time growing up in San Francisco. So Bloomberg put this report out there and it created a lot of controversy. But the governor's office said that Panera is actually not exempt from the law. They will be required to pay the minimum wage according to the legal interpretation from Newsom's office. And Greg Flynn, that franchise owner, he's even said that he plans to pay his workers $20 minimum wage. So in terms of where we are today, it's, you know, this controversy hasn't quite gone away, but in terms of Panera's actual exemption, it seems like they're going to be following the law from what we've been told.
And this minimum wage, it kicks in on April 1st?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's just in a few weeks from now. We only have about 2 minutes left, and I want to actually end with some encouraging news out of the Capitol. So in this morning's California Playbook, which you co-author, the headline reads, "The future is female in the California Senate." Explain.
Yeah, so the Senate is on track to be majority female lawmaker at the end of this year after the election cycle. It looks like, according to a projection from Close the Gap, which is a group that works to elect female legislators, according to their projection, 21 of the 40 senators will be women. And this is a first in state history. It's the first time that either chamber in the legislature will have achieved gender parity. That number is not quite guaranteed at this point. You know, we still have to see the results of the election, but they're pretty confident in making that projection based on the results of the primary and the number of races where women are the heavy favorites, or where there are only women running. California's been a state for 174 years, and this is huge because it would be the first time that something like that's happened.
Yeah, it's been a minute, 2024. Dustin, as always, thank you for joining us and getting us up to speed on what's going on at the state capitol.
Thanks for having me.
Dustin Gardner is the co-author of Politico's California Playbook. Up next, we're going to meet an all-volunteer group that has spent the past 15 months protecting Sacramento's rivers and waterways, cleaning up over 1 million pounds of trash. The River City Waterway Alliance joins us with more about their mission. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. We'll be back in just a few minutes.